This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Welcome back to the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Corey Majors and Kevin Hagelin. Colby Sapp is not with us this evening, gentlemen.
What?
But we got Reggie Attitula in studio with us, so send your text to Reggie. He will text you back. Almost everybody.
Oh, nice.
As a matter of fact, during this segment, I would like everybody to send a question specifically to Reggie.
Oh,
and he will answer every single one of them. And if he doesn't, I'll have to spin
Reggie.
The wheel. All right, but right now it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
And we start with the game that only felt like it set football back 100 years.
Yep.
The Packers against the Bears. The Packers were victorious 10-3. I've got notes.
Though?
Yeah. We were all losers. This is why we got rid of Thursday Night Football. It
absolutely
sucks. So, their first meeting was in 1921. How much has the game evolved since then? Well, in tonight's game, there was one touchdown pass. In the first game, it was also one touchdown. In the first game, there was 20 points. Tonight, there was 13 combined points.
So they had less points in the opener between these two teams than in the career opener between these two teams?
Yes. Yeah, so you can make an argument that football has gotten worse over the last 98 years than these teams have been playing. Now, let's take you to something from the Bears pregame. I did not know this is a thing. Now I think it's amazing. There's this crew of fans that operate tailgate out of an old hospital van, and they call themselves the Bear Medics, which I think is objectively funny. But they also call the thing they drive around in their fanbulance.
Okay.
I swear to God, it's true.
I
fanbulance.
We need to create a fanbulance.
Yes, we do.
For
copyright,
like,
infringement.
For like cornhole, you know, because we have some people that party hard.
Everybody listening right now, Gavin.Spittle at Entercom.com, ask him to take whatever the budget we have and buy a fanbulance.
Whatever's left.
Yeah. So I just wanted you guys to
I think
to
there are
that.
Some other people that are like, well, hold on. Can we invest that in other places?
Well, business is a tough mistress.
Reggie is feverishly typing back to everybody right now.
I know.
Now.
Good luck. Guys, got some injury notes for you. Alshon Jeffrey for the Eagles. He hasn't been listed on the injury report throughout training camp or anything. He was on the injury report today. He was limited in practice with a biceps injury. The Eagles declined comment about whether or not they would keep him out against Washington. Also limited for them, Derek Barnett with a shoulder injury and Brandon Brooks with an Achilles strain.
Really?
So those are some notable things because, man, you want to talk about reshuffling the power deck. If the Cowboys won Sunday, 3:25 kickoff, 12:30 pregame right here on the Fan, and the Eagles lost, I would be fascinated to see week one overreaction and how many people flip.
Oh, absolutely.
You think a lot?
Absolutely, they would.
I could see
and,
that.
Man, look at how healthy the Cowboys are right now. You know, going
sure.
going into this season, the health of the Cowboys, there is not a name. I mean, you have concerns.
Donovan Wilson?
You have concerns about Tank's shoulder.
Sure.
Because he didn't play enough. You're out with Byron Jones, but... Like, you were going into the season, and Broadus told us last night, he feels very confident in this secondary without Byron Jones because of how much they frustrated Dak Prescott during preseason, during training camp. Look at the offense. Like, offensively, you have Travis Frederick back, and I know he relearned everything, but Broadus says he feels pretty good there.
Yeah.
The rest of the offensive line is pretty as healthy as they've been. Zach Martin seems to have gotten his health back, too.
Sure.
Your receivers are... Everybody is healthy and ready to go. Kevin, this Cowboys team is in a very prime position. I hope a lot of people are starting to take note.
Well, they're going to crush the Giants on Sunday. A couple more health notes for you. Seattle Seahawks rookie and giant human specimen, DK Metcalf, was limited in Wednesday's practice, but he says he's going to play Sunday. I am 100%, and then referred to himself as Wolverine.
What does that mean?
Because he can heal tremendously quickly.
I've always wanted that ability to heal fast, because I'm a bad healer. I didn't know if you knew that or not.
Okay.
I mean, as I've gotten older, my skin heals slower for some reason.
Yeah.
Is that a bad thing? Anybody out there understand?
That's an old people thing.
Is that a vitamin deficiency?
So that's concerning for you.
I'll work on that.
Sorry, man. Sorry, I didn't know how to lift you up there.
I still like DK Metcalf, though. I don't know if he's going to be... He's not a good route runner, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, does he know how to cut yet?
But no, if he does not.
But if he can get upfield and catch the ball...
He'll smash
Russell
you.
Wilson, yeah. It's the Tyreek Hill, Pat Mahomes thing. Russell Wilson can throw the ball as far as he wants.
Ooh, I got notes.
Can Metcalf run fast enough to get under it?
Tyreek Hill note for you in just a second. Also, Nick Bosa... He got a right ankle sprain on August 7th. Word is he will, in fact, play in the opener. There was thought that he might not be able to, but he will. Now, the most curious case of all is Julio
Benjamin
Jones.
Oh.
I never actually saw that movie.
Good.
Julio Jones. So, D. Orlando Ledbetter, an objectively great name, of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, said that...
Even better name, by the way.
Yeah, that's true.
Gonna hear that in the list.
He said that Julio Jones was bizarre today during the portion of practice that media could see. He specifically said Julio Jones was wearing two different shoes and was clearly battling through something physical or emotional. And then when asked if he would be good to play in week one, he declined to commit to playing in week one. So there's something.
I can't say that I know enough about Julio Jones' personality to call him the diva that Antonio Brown is appearing to become, or the head case that he's becoming right now. But he's been that top receiver.
Yeah.
He's had a workload put on him that has been ridiculous.
Waiting for extension.
And he's sitting here with a contract going, okay, are y'all going to pay me more than Michael Thomas? I don't know if his approach is going to be, I will play and get paid, or, you know what, if I just act finicky, maybe they'll have to extend me.
Do you want to, here's three answers to questions back to back to back that make it even all the more confusing for fantasy people. Julio Jones, I don't know if I'll play Sunday. Also, I'm a little sore. All right. Then he followed that up by saying, I plan on playing. And then he followed that up by saying, I don't know if I'll actually play on Sunday.
Holy jeez.
Yeah. This was all in the span of 2 minutes. So I don't know what to tell people about that.
Yeah, man. That's a really weird... Oh, man. That's tough to understand what's going on in his brain. If he's... What is it that is ailing him? Is it a hamstring?
I thought it was his foot.
His foot? Foots, and he's had a foot problem before. I mean, he's had the foot problem before, and he came back from it, and he excelled very well. You know, so maybe he's looking at the season saying, is it best for me to be out there on game one if I'm not right and possibly injure it more? Maybe he's just trying to figure out where his body is. Maybe it has nothing to do with his contract. And everything to do with his actual body.
Well, along those lines, how much money do you think he's going to make this year?
This year? Like, how much is his contract right now?
Correct.
Is it in the $16 million range?
Okay, that's a good guess. $9.4 million.
Oh, okay.
So you can see why he would be anxious.
He needs more.
He's still got 2 years on it.
He's $20 million.
So that might be the asking price of Tyreek Hill. So the Chiefs are working on a contract extension with Tyreek Hill, who he's in the final year of his rookie deal, going to make about $2 million. He has had all kinds of off-the-field problems. He was not suspended, but the Chiefs said they were, quote, deeply disturbed by the audio that was released between he and his fiance about their kid. Remember, this is the same kid who was born, even though he punched her in the stomach when she was pregnant and also choked her. So... He's a bad person who comes with a lot of baggage, but he's a hell of a football player.
Mm-hmm. He can catch. He can run.
Yep.
He's willing to put his body on the line. How big is his contract going to be? Did that affect his contract?
He's a different type of player than Michael Thomas.
Did that affect his contract status, though?
I mean, I guess not.
Because he was on, they were looking at Mahomes and him and trying to figure out, holy crap, how much is he going to make? Then that came out, and they were like, okay, hold on, let's take a step back. And now are they full go with it?
I think if they're already working on it, I guess, would probably be the case. I would say, I don't know, I mean, 4 for 76.
Did Zeke lose money because of the 6-game suspension?
Yep. I think he lost the expediency of this getting done. Because if there's no suspension, nobody's arguing about any of this, right? Like, what's the biggest thing you heard outside of people who are like, you got to play for your contract? Is everyone's like, I don't know. Like, he's got off-field problems.
I don't know if that ever affected Jerry, though. I really think that they love drama. And just like, because Dez's...
Like TNT?
Dez's deal didn't have to come down to the last day.
Sure.
Remember? And it did.
Yeah.
And I think they were like, hey, Jerry is the key when it comes to NFL drama. Absolutely he is. He loves it.
We talked yesterday about the idea of Zeke not going full Zeke and being limited to 20, 25 looks. That will not be the case for the Rams per Sean McVay. He says that Todd Gurley will not be on a play count. I know people are excited about him. I will stick by what I said is his days of being an elite player, I think, are over because of the injuries.
I don't know, man.
You don't have to agree.
I don't know what was going on in his mind. I really have no clue. I saw something from Shannon Sharp earlier, and I know how people feel about him sometimes, but he said, you know, money makes you more of what you are. And it just, you know, it makes you feel freer to be the person you actually are. And was Gurley the kind of guy that was like, hey, I'm hurt, you know, and right. I don't need to play because I got the money? Or does he have a passion for it? And I wonder how many of these guys get their payday and they're like, do I really love it still? Zeke does. I think Zeke really does, but I don't know enough about Gurley to know that. That was a dude that had a couple of injuries in college. He was waiting for his payday because his body had already been beat up.
Now, another potential injury concern to keep an eye out on. Odell Beckham Jr. says his hip is still bothering him. It prevents him from opening up and sprinting. He said he's going to play this weekend. However, tell me if you think this is alarming. Quote, it's like an extremely fast car with the alignment off. The car can still go, but it's dangerous. Does it sound like he's predicting his own injury?
Is it Yu Darvish?
It might be. Where it has to be pristine, perfect conditions across the board for you to take the Ferrari.
The other thing, too, though, is you have to know your body. And these athletes, they do. You know, they pay attention. They listen to it. If Travis had not listened to his body, he may have been affected in a way that could have been very bad.
Sure.
And so Odell understands the beating that these guys take whenever they're on the football field, and he knows that if his hip isn't right, it could do a lot of damage to him to go out there. And look at Matt Harrison. Remember Matt Harrison had a toe injury that affected his back? That, you know, he had all these things that were because he was doing something, just he was overcompensating for his toe injury.
Yep.
And then his back went out on him. And it's so that's what could happen. So he's listening to it. A lot of people, though, try and say, oh, you're making an excuse so you don't have to go out there and play because you're not tough. And that's, isn't that what Gronk was talking about? You're not tough. You got to be tough to go win, and you do. But, you know, what's more important to you? Being tough and proving it to your teammates and the people that are calling you a pansy, or staying healthy for the rest of your life?
Now, I think this qualifies as pretty tough, and quite frankly, it's amazing to me. Caleb McGarry had a cardiac ablation on July 31st, was held out all throughout the preseason, but he's been working in practice, and though we don't know if he'll start, the Falcons are planning to activate him for the season opener. So a little bit more than a month after you have a heart procedure, you're ready to go back out there.
So for me, Kevin, my heart would be racing just being on the field. Like,
sure.
just being in the moment without even playing.
Right.
You know, just getting out there for the national anthem, which is very important. And being there, my heart would be racing just being part of it. So I'm interested to see, you know, how his body accepts that part of it.
And finally, we've talked about how much Jay Gruden hates Adrian Peterson.
And his job.
That's probably true. Gruden reiterated today he plans to start Darius Geis at running back, but hasn't decided whether to start two or three more backs and dress them out. Asked if Adrian Peterson would be active for week one, he declined to commit to that. He might effing not even activate healthy Adrian Peterson.
Because he hates him so much?
Tremendous.
He doesn't want to hear it during the game.
And he's pissed that he's on the team. he's like, fine, keep him on the team. I don't have to play him. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, three bold predictions for the 2019 NFL season. But before we get to any of that,
let's give something away!
877-881-1053, caller number 10.
Now!
We'll win a four-pack of tickets to go see the Rangers and the Rays September 12th. That is also UTA Hat Night.
So you get
UTA Hat Night.
Love
you get
it.
To Mav up. You get to watch the Rangers. You get to watch the Rays. Four pack of tickets, but only if you're caller number 10, 877-881-1053.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Make sure you are listening this Sunday from 7 to 9 a.m. You're going to have I'm Listening, which is, if you've ever suffered from depression and you want something to talk about or want to hear some people kind of go through their life story, Kevin's hosting the second half of it with Jeff Kavanaugh.
And we get a wide variety of mental health issues as well.
And I'm very interested to know how you deal with things too. So, and how you cope and how you overcome. So I'm looking forward to hearing that 7 to 9 on Sunday morning. Then you're going to have the pregame show. Then you're going to have the official pregame show of the Dallas Cowboys with all of the Fox cast.
Aaron Andrews,
Joe Buck, Troy Aikman will be on the Fox cast as well. But we'll have all the people plus Brad Sham, Brian Broaddus, and so many more. But Kevin, make sure you're listening to the game on Sunday because we got Cowboys football and the only place you can find it.
Hell yeah, I will. Now, speaking of football, SB Nation and Jeff Schwartz have put together, former NFL lineman Jeff Schwartz, have put together three fearless predictions for the 2019 season.
All right.
And if you want to question the legitimacy of this list, question no longer. The very first bold prediction, the Chicago Bears will not make the playoffs in 2019. Now, keep in mind, this came out yesterday.
Kevin, did you hear what happened in the game tonight?
They lost.
They were terrible.
They were terrible.
They were bad. Their running game could do nothing because they didn't have Jordan Howard. They also couldn't throw the ball because Mitch Trubisky's not a good quarterback.
He says Bears starting quarterback Mitchell Trubisky is just average.
He is. And what about him has shown that he has been anything more than that so far?
It's just how quarterback starved they've been.
He has been very fortunate to have a very good defense.
Yeah.
The Bears defense is very good. So what does he get? More opportunities to run the offense. The offense is built and constructed to be a pretty good offense. But I don't think Trubisky is a next level quarterback. So I've thought that all along, but a lot of people were losing their minds last year about him.
So how
that defense is really good though.
It's
but
true.
But it's also a tough division. I mean, that division, you got the Vikings, you got the Packers, And then I know Detroit isn't making a lot of noise because, you know, the Patricia, but I think Choppy was like, dude, they're winning the division and it's a lock that they're going over 8-8. Get the money on that.
Okay. You know, they're out of division games. They play the Saints, Chargers, Eagles, Rams, Cowboys, and Chiefs.
Oh, man.
So good luck with that.
Yeah, that's a tough, that is a tough battle right
there. All right.
Here.
I think that's a bold prediction. Do you think that is a likely prediction?
Yeah. I actually do. I would go on record saying the Bears don't make the playoffs this year.
Next up, the Cowboys will win the NFC. Not East, the NFC.
Oh, so bold.
What?
Whatever. What are you talking about, dude? Are you listening to this show? You listen to this station? I know there are a few people that are very skeptical about the Cowboys. But this team, I think the playoff experience they got last year was huge for them. The preparation it takes to go on the road and play against a team like the Rams and then make an adjustment. You know, that's all the Cowboys needed to do in that game was make an adjustment. Kevin, it goes back to remember when they were playing against San Francisco back in our heyday. They needed to wear better cleats. And I know Jerry said that. But that's a real deal. Sometimes you get on those fields and you have to wear different shoes. But they had to make a couple of adjustments defensively, and they could have been right there in the mix for the Super Bowl. I there's no doubt in my mind that this Cowboys team is talented enough. Now, the question is, whenever you get into week two, week three, week seven, are you healthy? Can the top-tier talent all across the board remain healthy? Because this is a very top-heavy team. I know they have some depth. But it's very reliant on, man, we have really good linebackers in Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch. If one was to go down, would that be a problem? Man, we have a really great defensive end in DeMarcus Lawrence. If he was to be gone, would that be a problem? Yeah, you know, your offensive line is really good. So I think it's the Cowboys' health is the only thing that can really hold them back. Also, maybe a head coach that doesn't adjust.
So check this out. I was kind of looking at some of the Super Bowl ratings patterns. Super Bowl 24 and 73 million people watch. 25, 79 million people watch. Super Bowl 27, 91 million people watched.
Was that the Cowboys?
That was the Cowboys. Year before, 80 million people. 11 million more people watched. Next year, 90 million. Again, the Cowboys. Next year, it was not the Cowboys. You know how many people watched?
30 million.
83 million.
Not enough.
It went down by 7. Next year, Cowboys back, 94 million, which was the most watched ever. It did not surpass 94 million again for 12 years, despite consistent population growth. Now, check this out. Super Bowl 43, 98 million. 44, 106. After that, 111, 111, 108, 112, 114, 111, 111, all the way up to 51. Last 2 years, 103, 98. I will guarantee you this right now. If the Cowboys are in the Super Bowl, you'll surpass the 114 million mark. And I'll guarantee you this. I believe you will surpass 120 million if this prediction holds true, that it ends up being the Cowboys against the Patriots.
Yeah, that was my question. I was just about to ask you that. There's nothing the NFL would love more
oh my God,
than to, in their 100th season, have the greatest ratings they've ever had.
Yep.
And the Cowboys, don't they play the Patriots at some point this season?
They do.
So that would be, I mean, it would kind of, that's going to be a huge rating night anyway. But a rematch of that game on the biggest stage would crush every rating because that the Patriots are this generation's Cowboys. You if you are a fan of them, you love them. If you are not, you hate them. And that's what the Cowboys have always been. And what do people love seeing whenever the Patriots are in the Super Bowl? The masses watch to see them lose. The massholes watch to see them win. But everybody else is watching to see them lose. So it would be the two teams that move the needle the most.
All right, so What do you think about the probability of this going down?
Of those two teams being in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
I think it's very high because the Patriots, their path to it isn't very impeded.
Sure.
You know, like who they have to deal with in their division, they're probably going to get a bye. So that's just where they are.
All right, Cowboys winning the NFC, you buy that. Bears not make the playoffs, you buy that. So you've clearly bought into the legitimacy of Jeff Schwartz and the three fearless predictions to usher in 2019, which, of course, at this point, you should have known that it was all just a massive setup for this finish. Bold prediction number three. Sam Darnold will have a better season than Baker Mayfield. What?
Wow.
He starts out by saying, I know, blasphemy, but hear me out.
No.
And then he added, and I don't think I even knew this, I dropped the ball on my Darnold love here. Sam Darnold had the best quarterback rating in the league in the last month of the season per Pro Football Focus.
Oh, and all the other opponents didn't care anymore. And they were like, we
don't
need
to scheme against the Jets.
They didn't care.
The Jets didn't care either.
Yeah, when the pressure was off, Sam Darnold was really good.
He's just starting. Sam Darnold will have a better season than Baker Mayfield.
In what capacity?
In every capacity.
Wins, losses, passing yards.
I'm going to say statistically across the board.
Because if he wins more games, I will say Baker Mayfield had a better season.
But if Sam Darnold wins more games and the Cleveland Browns made the playoffs, will you give Sam Darnold the MVP?
No.
That means his team is in the playoffs and they won more games than Cleveland. That means they might have won the division. If the Jets win that division and you don't name Sam Darnold the MVP, we got a problem.
What if Sam Darnold's not the MVP of the team, though? Oh, what if Le'Veon Bell's the MVP of that team?
Oh, please. Sure, maybe I forgot he was there for just a second. But I think Sam Darnold is going to be the – well, I don't, but I'm saying
– Wait. They can make the playoffs without winning that division.
I know, but I'm saying if they won the division, Sam Darnold is up in that mix for MVP. Right?
That's a really big if. Like, if is carrying a lot of weight.
Well, sure,
there.
But we just agreed these first two bold predictions were good, so Sam Darnold will have a better season than Baker Mayfield.
Just because two of them were good doesn't mean that all three of them are in line.
Wise words, two out of three ain't bad. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Did you know that whole segment was a setup?
Yeah.
Coming up next, it's NFL Season 100. So let's learn about NFL Season 1 next right here on The Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. We're going till 1 a.m., so get with us and let's party. Kevin, there's a lot of stuff going on in the NFL tonight. And the Bears defeated the Packers.
No.
In a way that was defeating to us.
Uh-huh.
Because they only scored 3 points. The Packers, they scored their 10, and that was pretty much it. It was a boring game. And you know what? That is anticlimactic for what is the 100th season of the NFL. That's sad. It's really sad at this moment.
So what I wanted to do is take you back to the very first NFL season. So the NFL started in 1920. There were 10 teams in the NFL then. The Packers joined the league the next year, and then some of the other teams that you might know, like the Giants joined in 25, the Detroit Lions, then known as the Portsmouth Spartans, joined the league in 1930. But I take you back to the not then Chicago Bears. Do you remember what they were called then?
Was it the Beans or something?
No, that's fair guess. The Decatur Staleys.
Yeah, that's right.
So the 1920 Decatur Staleys, I want to focus on them.
Because Deuce Staley owned the team, right?
That is factually accurate.
All right.
And they played at Staley Field because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Their head coach was also Hall of Famer George Halas. They finished 10-1-2, which was good enough to finish second in what was then called the American Professional Football Association, but would become the NFL. Now, one of their best players was Ed Dutch Stemmemann. He had 11 rushing touchdowns, one receiving touchdown, four field goals, three PATs, had 87 of the team's 164 points. Now, the Staleys went through the season.
Drinking pickle juice?
I mean, they might have, but are you ready to hear their schedule?
What if I say no?
Ooh, I'm probably going to tell you. Anyway.
Okay, all right. Yes, then.
They won their first game October 3rd, 1920, against the Moline Universal Tractors.
They had a team named the Universal Tractors?
Correct.
In Moline?
Correct.
All right.
They won their second game 25-7 over the Kewaunee Walworth.
What was the first score again?
20-0.
All right, so they have over 20 points.
Dude, this defense was dope.
I bet, you know?
They gave up all season. I'll tell you at the end. It was a shockingly low amount of points. Next up.
21 points.
Oh, you're really close. The Kewaunee Walworth. They defeated 25-7. Next week, the Rock Island Independents. They defeated 7-0. Then they defeated the Chicago Tigers 10-0 and the Rockford AC 29-0. At this point, they're 5-0. However, their fortunes would change. Next game, rematch against the Rock Island Independents. 0-0 tie.
Then they
defeated the Champaign Legion. 20-0. That's an amazing day.
Champaign, Illinois, right?
Correct.
Okay, all right.
Then they defeated the Minneapolis Marines. 3-0. And the Hammond Pros. 28-7. Then a rematch with the Chicago Tigers, which they won 6-0. But then they lost to the Chicago Cardinals 7-6 before beating the Chicago Cardinals 10-0.
Is that why Cubs fans hate the St. Louis Cardinals so much?
It could be.
Oh, you stole our team.
Because that loss put them in danger going into what would be the championship game.
Ooh, otherwise known as the Super Bowl.
Yes, but not for like another 47 years.
Good God.
So, all season, the team gave up 20 points.
Good night.
In 12 games.
Oh, you mean 20 touchdowns?
20 points.
Oh, yeah, 20 points. Remember I said 21 earlier? 20 points?
They gave up a robust 1.7 points per game.
Jeez.
Which led them into the championship against the Akron Pros.
You got to feel like they were good at drafting, and nobody else was very good at drafting at the time.
I don't think that they had an NFL draft then.
Okay, so they just free agency signed all the talent?
Yeah, except most of the people didn't play pro football.
Okay.
Yeah, they were like welders and cobblers and haberdashers.
Yeah, they would.
Oh, yeah, look that word up,
they would
kids.
Build streets in the day and then make cobbler at
Actually,
night.
You're not wrong about that. So the Decatur Staleys were 10-1-1. The Akron Pros were 8-0-2. Why did they play different numbers of games? I don't know. Other teams in the league included the Muncie Flyers, the Columbus Panhandles, the Cleveland Tigers, the Detroit Heralds, the Canton Bulldogs, the Rochester Jeffersons, the, we've referenced them before, Dayton Triangles, and the Buffalo All-Americans. But it all came down to the Akron Pros against the Decatur Staleys. In front of a raucous crowd of 12,000 people.
Wow, that's more than was at the Rangers and Baltimore Orioles game tonight.
I totally believe that. And by the way,
the announced attendance was 8,000.
Oh, did you know that they played a game in Champaign, Illinois earlier in the season where 500 people were there?
Really?
And the first game they had, their first home game, 1,500 people were there.
Did you know the old 97s did a song called Champaign, Illinois?
Oh, I did not. So you get down to this. The vaunted Decatur Staley's defense shows up big again. They give up no points.
Nice.
And lose the championship.
What are you talking about? You can't give up 0 points and lose a championship.
Oh, can't you? Because the final score was 0-0. So the Akron Pros finished 8-0-3 while the Decatur Staleys finished 10-1-2.
What?
That
what
means
are you talking about?
The Akron Pros had one more tie, but one less loss in two less games.
How many points did the Akron Pros give up per game?
You know how many points they give up all year?
How many?
Seven.
So they were better than the Staleys?
Correct.
Defensively? Okay. See, you built this up as the Staleys being the best defense.
Well, they tied the
clear that the Akron Pros were better.
They tied the Cleveland Tigers 7-7, and this was their second consecutive 0-0 tie to end the season. But there's something very important that you need to know about the Decatur Staleys. Sure, they had Hall of Famer George Halas, who was also their coach. They had amazing names like Henry Shank and Hub Shoemake. But here's the most important of all.
Shank and Shoemake.
6'1", 205 pounds, the age of 24 out of Notre Dame. Started 8 games for them. Jerry Jones.
What?
Now, I mean, obviously, it's not the same Jerry Jones.
I was
Jones,
like, hold on, that doesn't sound...
But for half a second, you were like...
Did you hear Reggie's reaction?
Yeah.
Yes, of course I was.
Wait, what? No, this
Are you sure this doesn't time out?
I mean...
From the 817, I was at that Staley's game. What a time.
Probably... Cost like 5 cents to get into the game. I'm really...
Probably not.
I'm really...
That was probably too expensive.
Not entirely sure.
They walk up and see the ticket price is 5 cents, and they're like, you have priced out the common man.
So the... Well, maybe because of the 12,000 fans, 2,000 of the fans were from one of the players' home teams, Fritz Pollard. Fritz Pollard... was part of the Akron Pros. Now, they moved the game from their usual home stadium because it was too small, and they also hired a player from another team to come play on their team in the championship, which was not allowed by team rule by NFL rules. That player's name, Patty Driscoll, which I also just thought was another amazing thing. The newspaper, the Chicago Defender, said that the reporters... reported that the referees were biased towards Decatur. The only true attempt at a score came in the third quarter when the Decatur Staleys, now known as the Chicago Bears, missed a 30-yard field goal that would have won them
the
first ever NFL championship.
So you're saying that the... Chicago football area.
Correct.
Has been cursed in the kicking game since forever.
Since the very first.
And that's why.
NFL season.
They are losing their minds right now.
Fact.
And making a field goal today was exciting for the entire stadium.
Fact.
Yet not good enough to win the game.
Exactly.
Wow.
Would you dare say that that. Is the ultimate backfire.
I could say that. The, man, I, that is amazing. That is an ultimate backfire moment. 877-881-1053. If you have some ultimate backfire moments, go ahead and text those in. However, Kevin, there's something I want to ask you. There's something I want to ask you that was just texted in moments ago. Somebody texted in and said, what if Dallas doesn't sign Dak, but they draft Jalen Hurts? And I started to think about this, Kevin. It would take a lot in order to get in position to draft him.
Correct.
You would have to lose some games unless people buy in that he's not worthy of the pick. However, after you see Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray's seasons, they both went number one after going to OU and winning a Heisman.
Correct.
You've already seen game one of Jalen Hurts' career with OU.
Where he was disappointed in his team.
He is on his way to a Heisman Trophy.
Sure.
So my question is, would Lincoln Riley say, that's my quarterback, I want him, let's go to the NFL together and take over that Cowboys team, which is primed, just needs a better quarterback if Dak can't do it?
I think he might. The reason being is, remember when I told you that the Cowboys were $85 million under the salary cap?
Yes.
Keep in mind now, Jalen Hurts, I mean, he doesn't cost nothing because he's a first-round pick, but he costs, what, like $25 million less than you're going to pay Dak?
It would cost to trade up to get it, but you have the rest of your team secured financially.
Yep.
For the next 3 to 5 years.
Correct.
And if the Cowboys went into this season and assessed that Jason Garrett and Dak Prescott, and Broaddus is right, assuming bad things because you actually believe the Cowboys, I believe the Cowboys are going to be good too. But I am looking at this scenario, and it's exciting. And it's too early to even think about this. But if Jason Garrett and Dak Prescott prove that they couldn't get to that next place, and they don't sign Dak Prescott this year, Kevin, you said it. That's a lot of money to spend. I don't know on what, because what do the Cowboys need in free agency?
Right.
But you can go ahead and pay Amari. You can go ahead and bring back Byron Jones. And, you know, maybe you can find a safety free agent and say, okay, we're going to solidify that position. But are you willing to start a rookie quarterback with the rest of this team around him, knowing that Zeke loves Dak, the team loves Dak, but maybe he can't? Dude, that's such an exciting thing because I'm watching what Lincoln Riley's doing on the offensive side of the football. That is a very intriguing thing to me.
Guys, I have a breaking ultimate backfire for myself thanks to the fan text. I only counted the 6 points as a victory for the Decatur Staleys. They actually lost that game 7-6. So they did, in fact, give up 21 points for the season.
Bam!
Woo!
In your face, Kevin. Told you.
From the 469.
I'm glad that somebody was listening that intently.
They
though.
Were. 5 cents was too much. And from the 940, that's when Coca-Cola had cocaine in it. Can you imagine how crazy the fans were? God, what a scene that must have been. Guys, ultimate backfire might be for the NFL. They've been hyping up their spectacular unveiling of Verizon's 5G network to NFL stadiums. Well, there's 16 games this weekend. They're bringing it to 13 stadiums for the kickoff weekend. And they said the speedier network will only be available in, quote, parts of the seating area and, quote, could be available in other parts of the stadium.
Wow.
Like, that's your big rollout is, hey, we got 5G now at all the stadiums. Well, not all of the stadiums.
Just
and not all of the places in the stadium.
Can my phone even get 5G?
No, if you don't have it. If you have to ask, it can't. So, and that's actually a problem with the technology. Like, they are right. They were rolling out 5G, but one of the hampers, I guess, for lack of a better word, on 5G is that they use microwave technology, and that makes the waves smaller, as you might be able to guess from the name. But that also makes it so that it's not as powerful. It doesn't not go as far. So you can get 5G, and even if it's like a clear day and you're close to the receiver, that's the only way you would be able to get those speeds. As you move away, it'll revert back to 4G, LTE, or whatever. So, yeah, you would have to be close to it regardless, unless they just put a whole bunch of 5G nodes all over the stadium, which, you know, they could do, but I imagine it's a lot easier to just be like, go to the 5G section next to the smoking section.
Right.
Maybe they have multiple 5G, you know, places around, though.
5G lounge.
Maybe it's all over the place, just not, like you said, big enough to work. From the 530, ultimate backfire, first time I went duck hunting. With my uncle and cousin, we were walking around in waist-high water with waders. And my cousin saw one of those big balls of fire ants floating by, and he kicked
it.
Well, when he kicked it, that big ball of fire ants went up in the air and straight down his waders. Then I got to watch my uncle grab my cousin by his ankles and try to get the fire ants off.
So he quite literally had ants in his pants?
Yes, ants in his pants. From the 214, my ultimate backfire, drafted Antonio Brown.
Yikes.
God, that's going to be a lot of people, right? Because I bet he got taken, what, pretty close, got to be top 10 by, well, like, pretty high by a lot of people. Maybe not top 10, but like high.
Top 20.
I'll put it to you this way, Kevin. He probably didn't get past the second round in most drafts.
Wow.
And if you're drafting in a 10 to 12 man league, you're probably drafting him in the top 20.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
KNC backfire.
Yeah, I almost did say that. Coming up next, Baseball Buckets with Corey Majors, featuring Corey Majors. Corey, where are we going today?
Do you want to take a look at what MLB super teams might be looming in 2020?
Ooh, yeah.
Next on The Fan.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.